The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello there and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It is Monday the 25th of April. I'm Maddie Playell and this week I'm joined by David Jennings and Leon Blanc. Priority for talk about the impending Punchestown Festival. So many intriguing matchups. Although we're largely getting into the flat season, the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas this weekend at Newmarket, we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. But our hearts are still with the jumps for now. And there was a good show in the finale at Sandown on Saturday. We had Hewick winning the big race for Shark Hanlon, another one of the big races. Gone back over to Ireland. Greenatine showed once again what a star he is at Sandown, and some very good performances from the Paul Nicholls team. Of course, he had an excellent day to mark his 13th championship as top trainer. DJ, first off, let's talk about the big race, perhaps. Shark Hanlon's clearly a really, really talented trainer, perhaps unheralded a little bit over here. But he had a good jockey aboard as well. So different themes to this success.
Yeah, Shark is a larger-than-life character, literally. He is he's just one of these fellas that you just smile every time you see him. He's a bit of a joker. He's a character. And I just love to see him winning big races because, you know, there's not a bad bone in his body, and it's quite a big body, and there's no bad bones there. And he's just a character that everybody kind of has a lot of time for. And this was a very well executed plan with Hewick. You know, the ground came good. He's obviously a thorough stayer. We saw what he did at Sedgefield early on the season. And yeah, a really, really shrewd piece of placing by Shark. And, you know, 90 grand sterling to the winner, that's over 100,000 euro. That's a big deal for Shark. For the jockey, Jordan Gale, for the course, he won on the Shunter at the Cheltenham Festival last year. A proper, proper, you know, rider that's going to be, you know, making a lot of headlines in the years to come. Really good, really cool character, a good speaker as well. It'll be long odds on that he'll be champion jockey someday, and I certainly think he will, and it'll probably be sooner rather than later. It's something that could happen in the next 5 or 6 years because there's obviously a new influx of jockeys coming, and some of the older brigade are bowing out. But I think Jordan is the next big thing in Irish racing. As regards the card, Maddie, I thought it was terrible stuff. I really did. Jumps finale, like, we're billing this as a big, you know, big way to bow out for the jump season. Jesus, it was shocking stuff altogether. You know, St. Calvados won a grade two by 16 lengths and he was even money favourite. Greenatine is a nice horse. Like, he's grand. He's you know, on his day, he's a good 2 mile chaser. But I know probably Briony Frost went on the slowest part of the track at Leopardstown, but he was beaten 74 lengths by Shaq and Persuade. He was hammered by Shishkin at Kempton at Christmas. And he was fourth in the Holden Gold Cup behind Eldorado Allen. Like, he's hardly a superstar. And that was a grade one in name, but certainly not in nature. I was really disappointed in the Sandown card. And they're really going to have to look at that card now to see how can we get it back to the kind of heady days of years ago. Because I thought we went out with a whimper rather than a bang, to be honest with you, Maddie.
Perhaps that's reflective of the bigger picture on the whole in this country. Although I do think you've been a bit harsh on Greenatine. I think he's a very classy horse and clearly had excuses in Leopardstown.
I don't argue that he's a very good horse, but he is a horse that obviously picks up the pieces when the superstars are not there. But this is a grade one on whatever jumps finale at Sandown.
He's a Tingle Creek winner as well.
He is a Tinkle Creek winner, yeah, he absolutely is. And he did beat Hitman, and, you know, Shaq and Persuade obviously ran in that race. But yeah, he's a very good horse. I just don't think he's a superstar.
That's a debate we can get into for another day. Leon, a magnificent five-timer for Paul Nicholls with Nappers Hill, St. Calvados, Greenatine, McFabulous and Samareve in the closing handicap hurdle. Just a word on that and what he's achieved this season, because he's not actually had the best horses.
No, look, I think he's only won six grade ones all season. So he's been able to do exceptionally well with probably a modest bunch by his standards in years gone by. Felt a little bit for Harry Cobden, to be fair, because after he got the first winner, he spoke about getting the 100 and he just fell one short. It's a pity he didn't pick McFabulous. in the select hurdle, and then he would have hit the ton for the season. But look, fair play to Paul Nicholls. Another trainer's championship. I'd have to agree with Geno, however, this was a whimper of a finale. Didn't really excite a lot of people. How many superstars were on show is quite questionable. But in fairness to Paul Nicholls, a lot of prize money up for grabs, and he swallowed up the majority of it. So interesting to see why other trainers in England didn't really try and target this with the prize money on offer. Some very small fields once again. But however, fair play to Nicholls, another trainers' championship. And of course, the jockey who was the star of the show was Jordan Gainford. I just really have to echo what Geno said about this young man. He's getting such a good grounding. He's based with Gordon Elliott, and he's able to pick up rides for different stables. Always had his horse in the perfect position. No fluke winning by 8 lengths. And this horse could just be an Aintree Grand National horse maybe next year, because all I think he does is stay. What did he cost? 850 quid? What a bit of buying again from the Shark. Huge day for him to have all his family there and his young son, Paddy, a 14-year-old who rides this horse out every day. Great story for them. For us, anyway, they were the stars of the show, winning the Gold Cup Handicap Chase.
Yes, Maddie, just a quick word on Paul Nicholls. I did a column on this during Aintree, and what he's done is unbelievable, really, because I said at the time that he had 4 of the top 40 jumps horses in training. He only had 4, and he was still able to be champion trainer. Just to bring that point further along, he's only got 2 of the top 36 horses in Britain, judging by our Racing Post ratings. So the top 36 horses in Britain by Racing Post ratings, he's only got 2. One of those was Greenatine, and the other obviously is Shack and Persuas. Or sorry, Clan de Zobo, not Shack and Persuas. Clan de Zobo and Greenatine. So to have 2 of the top, for any champion training ever in any jurisdiction, to be champion trainer, only having 2 of the best 36 horses, That's astonishing stuff. And I doff my hat to him, because I've criticised him in the past and said that, you know, he kind of, you know, dodges battles and, you know, picks and chooses where he wants to run races. But he's brilliant at what he does. He's a brilliant target trainer. And for him to do what he did this season, it's astonishing, really.
Yeah, deserved plaudits for Paul Nicholls then. I do think we should mention Brian Hughes, the champion jockey, once again before we move on. In a way, I guess that reflects much of what's been said about Brian. He quietly goes about his business, but he's clearly an exceptional jockey, and hopefully we get to see him on the larger stage sometime soon. Leon was saying that and DJ, as a matter of fact, that this finale meeting didn't live up to the hype. Well, perhaps you guys are going to show us how it's done this week in Punchestown. We're going to go onwards with our review, and we're going to start off with the 4:15 at Punchestown tomorrow on Tuesday. It's the Bective Stud Champion Novice Hurdle, and we're going to see a real good clash between two Willie Mullins horses here. Sir Gerhard the Ballymore winner takes on Dynamo, who fell in the Supreme Novices Hurdle, won by Constitution Hill. We have Mighty Potter, who underperformed at the festival, back for more. Via Ardanza and Gatsby Great round out the field. How do you bet, Leon?
Yeah, look, it's no surprise, I think, that Sir Gerhard is the 13-8 on favourite, 15-8 Dysart Dino, and 15-2 Bar. Look, it's great that Willie Mullins is putting in the two runners against each other. I think a lot of people were taken by the performance from Dysart Dynamo back in the middle of January, when he was a winner by 19 lengths and going right-handed, the speed he was going at. I mean, he was just awesome that day. He went to Cheltenham. We obviously know that he fell. Constitution Hill was exceptional in that particular Supreme Novices. But I'm all over Sir Gerhard in terms of being the winner of this race. He's not a betting proposition. I just think Sir Gerhard has got absolutely everything, Matty. He's won over 2 miles. He won a Ballymore when he never really settled. I just think this horse is the real deal. Of course, he is a champion bumper winner at Cheltenham. He opened up the season winning a 2 mile race at Leopardstown by 8 lengths from Highland Charge. Then he went to Leopardstown in the Dublin Racing Festival. Didn't jump as slick as he could, but when they came to him, his jumping got straight back into life. He beat Three Stripe Life, who was a winner at Aintree by 6 lengths. Then he went to Cheltenham and won as easy as he liked. So I just think Sir Gerhard wins. I think Dysart Dynamo will set it up for him in front. And it's as simple as that for me.
Okay, DJ, why is Willie Mullins doing this? And what do you think it means for the future, running them both over 2 miles?
As a whole, on the team of the week, it's something that he does do at Punchestown, which is great. He obviously has all the best horses, but he's not afraid to run them against one another, which is obviously for our pleasure, which is great, because if he was ducking and diving this week, it wouldn't be great. We'd have a lot of long, long odds on shots if he didn't run, you know, both Sir Gerhard and Dysart Dynamo in this race. As regards here, I genuinely do think he thinks, you know, Sir Gerhard could be a champion hurdle contender next season. And that's what he's thinking. I think he's dying to have a crack at 2 miles with Sir Gerhard just to see in a proper grade one. I know he won the grade one at the Dublin Racing Festival, but he jumped poorly there. And I don't think Connections thought he was in full flow there. That wasn't the real Sir Gerhard, even though he still beat Three Stripe Light by 6 lengths in a brilliant time. To do what he did at Cheltenham was really, really impressive, because he did a lot wrong and still ended up winning convincingly. And I thought he was even more impressive than the winning margin suggests. I don't like the way Dysart Dynamo goes about his business. He's just a little bit too enthusiastic for my liking. He will turn this into a proper test over 2 miles, which is exactly what Sir Gerhard wants. And I just think Sir Gerhard uses his ability far more efficiently than Dysart Dynamo does. And, you know, official ratings say that Sir Gerhard is £5 better than Dysart Dynamo. I think that's about right. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sir Gerhard go off maybe 1-2. I think at around 8-13, 4-6, I don't think he's that bad a value.
OK, Sir Gerhard, you think staying at the hurdles next year, Dysart Dynamo, is he going to go chasing or not?
I don't know. I just think Willie is keen to have a proper champion hurdle contender next year. Obviously, he had to throw Appreciated into the mix this year. But I think with Sir Gerhard, if Sir Gerhard wins this impressively, he will be his number one champion hurdle hope next season.
OK, Willie Mullins has, of course, won 6 of the last 7 runnings of this race. He'll be a very short price to make it 7 in the last 8. Let's move on then. Also on Tuesday, we're going to go to the 5:25 next. Of course, this is the William Hill Champion Chase, another grade one over the 2 miles, and another Willie Mullins matchup between the Champion Chase here at Energamine and Chacun Bossoir, who was unseated in that race. Patrick Mullins once again aboard. Andy Dufresne, Envoy Ellen, and Captain Guinness round out what is a small but select cast. And again, Mullins aiming for his 4th successive win in this race. Who do you think conditions are going to favour at this track, DJ?
Oh, definitely Chacun Bossoir. This is everything Chacun Bossoir wants. These are his terms and conditions. You know, good ground, Punchestown, not having to travel. He's unbeaten at the track. His two best performances, be it as a novice and last year in this race, came at this track. And, you know, I can really see Chacun Bossoir winning here. You know, the funny thing is, obviously, Energamine is a Champion Chase winner, but officially, the best horse in the race is Chacun Bossoir. He's rated 176. And I just wonder, if Chacun Bossoir does exactly what he did in the race last year, if he bounces out, if he jumps as well as he did, if he gets them all out of their comfort zone so early, like he did beat Alaho by 5.5 lengths and was, you know, 10 lengths in front at the second last. If he does that here, it's going to be very hard for Energamine to catch him on this ground. I do think Energamine is better with more cut in the ground. I think the rain that arrived on the Wednesday at Cheltenham certainly did suit him. And yeah, at the prices, I think you've got to be with Chacun Bossoir. You can forgive him, you know, his blips across the water, because he has been relentless in Ireland. So at the prices, 13-8 with Boyle Sports, Chacun Bossoir, that'll do me.
Okay, Leon, DJ likes that 13-8. Just tell us what the prices are for the rest of the runners and who you fancy.
Yeah, look, it's 11-8 on favourite Energamine, 13-8 Chacun Bossoir, 14s Andy Dufresne, 18s Envoy Alan, and the outsider of the 5 is Captain Guinness. I'm in agreement with DJ. I think this is what Chacun wants. Punchestown going right-handed, better ground, doesn't have to travel. It sets it up for him to win this race once again. The only thing about Energamine is he did win at the Punchestown Festival in that novice chase last year on yielding ground. He beat Janadel by 16 lengths in that particular run a year ago. But I just think Chacun, this is his day. I think Enner Gamine, even though it was an effortless victory in a champion chase, you've still got to win them. He had a hard run, obviously, at Ascot prior to that. And I just think Shacklin comes here that little bit more fresh. He's got his conditions. And I think at the prices, 13-8, that will do me.
Okay, on to the 6:35, the Dooley Insurance Group Champion Novice Chase, another grade one. And this is going to be Bob Olinger's first foray over further than 3 miles. Actually, of course, a fortuitous winner in the Marsh Novices Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Capodanno's also in here, Fury Road, Beacon Edge, 2 for Giggenstown House Stud. Alex Hales sends over Aintree Group 1 winner, Miller's Bank, and Lifetime Ambition and Ballyshannon Rose are also present among the declarations. There was a big upset in this race last year when Cole Reavy beat Monkfish and Envoi Allen. Do you foresee that happening to Bob Olinger this time, Leon?
Look, it's a very competitive grade one, and I suppose Bob Olinger has got to right the wrongs of that performance at Cheltenham, because it wasn't really the Bob Olinger that we had seen prior to that. I think stepping up in trip will aid his jumping a little bit. It'll give him a little bit more time. There was a couple of problems that were muted as to why he didn't run as well as he should have done, really, at the Cheltenham Festival. But there is a good bit of strength and depth in this particular contest. Capodanno, we all remember him actually putting it up to Bob Olinger at Punchestown a couple of runs back in the middle of January. Look, he was beaten 4 3/4 lengths that day. He unseated at the Dublin Racing Festival in the race won by Galopin Deschamps. Then he went and finished fourth to Lam Presse at the Cheltenham Festival. So he's a good yardstick, Capodanno. I am interested in Miller's Bank, however, and it's great to see a UK runner coming over here, and fair play to Alex Hales. There's a lot of prize money on offer at the Punchestown Festival, and we do need more UK runners to come over to Punchestown. There is an awful lot of prize money at stake. He won a grade one at Aintree. Was it the best grade one in the world? No. I think anyone would actually tell you that. He beat Warlord by 10 lengths. But it was a good jumping performance. It was on good to soft ground. So I don't think the ground conditions are going to pose a problem. You'd love to see him actually finish probably in the first two, maybe three. I mean, to make the trip worthwhile. He's a 10-1 chance. So I hope he runs well, but I do feel if the real Bob Olinger turns up, I think he's going to be very hard to beat. I really do think stepping up and trip will suit him.
Okay, DJ, they did find an excuse, if you like, for his Cheltenham performance. He has had some physio. I think it was on a muscle. So hopefully that's worked out for the Henry de Bromhead team. But a lot of people, even Leon there, was saying that going this slower gallop will help his jumping. Is his jumping, you think, a problem?
I'm in a complete minority here. Just to clear up, he tore a muscle in his near hind quarter in that race at Cheltenham. So that's obviously the blame for the you know, lackluster effort there, because he was walking coming up the hill that day. I was there that day in Cheltenham, and Henry de Bromhead it's a long time since I've seen a trainer so baffled. He'd obviously won the race. He was very fortunate to win it. But he was like a ghost. Like, he just couldn't figure out how any horse, like, the quote is there for everybody to see. I never thought any horse would be able to do that to Bob Olinger in a race. So that just tells you the reputation that Bob Olinger has in Knockeen. So he never thought any horse would be able to do that to Bob Olinger. And it's since transpired, obviously, he tore a muscle in his near hind quarter. Rachel said, once he made that mistake, and it was a desperate mistake, 5 out, and then 4 out, it was game over. I actually thought, up until 5 out, I actually liked the way he jumped. Now, the problem this year with novices are, we originally were comparing them to Brave Man's Game and Galloping the Champs, who, up until Brave Man's Game at Aintree, Galloping the Champs and Brave Man's Game were two of the most fluent and brilliant novices I've seen in a long time. Like, they are exceptions. So we're judging Bob Olinger at that level. I actually thought he was fine up on the 5 out of Cheltenham. He wasn't really losing. If you go through the race, he wasn't actually losing much ground on Galloping the Champ at the fences. He was low enough, but he was quite quick over them. And I thought he was fine. So I'd say he did just something happen 5 out and it was game over from that point. Like, I think what you have to do here is, just imagine that Bob Olinger didn't run at Cheltenham for some bizarre reason. He just didn't run there. Like, there is absolutely no way Bob Olinger would be 11 to 8 to win this race. When he beat Capodanno by almost 5 lengths at Punchestown in January, he was 1-2. He won that race impressively. He would be, you know, 2-5 to win this race if he didn't run at Cheltenham. So you're actually getting, in my view, a decent price to find out whether he's over that problem. And I just think he's a much, much better calibre horse to these. I think 11 to 8 is perfectly respectable. And if he's over them worries, I think 11 to 8 could look a huge price come whatever time, come 6:45 on Tuesday.
On to Wednesday and on to the 5:20, which is the Irish Mirror Novice Hurdle over 3 miles last year. The race was won by Galopin Deschamps, who we just spoke about just then. He was something of a surprise package, if truth be told, in his novice hurdle days. If there is a horse from the Mullins Yard who's done that this year, it could be the Nice Guy, who, although he's unbeaten, came from relative obscurity to win the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle at 18-1, beating Manella Kakuna and Manella Kruna. This is going to be a rematch of sorts. How do you think this form will stand up, Leon?
Yeah, look, I mean, the Nice Guy, there was absolutely zero fluke about his win in the Albert Bartlett. He was a much bigger price at 18-1 on that occasion. But he beat Manella Kakuna quite easily by 5 lengths. I think Manella Kakuna was a little bit unlucky in running. I don't think everything went to plan. In fairness, for like Manella Kakuna in that particular race. Manella Kakuna was brilliant the previous time, but I think a lot of that boiled down to Danny Mullins' ride in the Dublin Racing Festival. I thought he was exceptional from the front. He judged the clock to perfection. And actually, the jumping of Manella Kakuna that time at Leopardstown, it was really, really good. He was very slick, very quick at all his hurdles. And that won the race. But the Nice Guy comes here, probably going to start favourite, I would imagine, around about the 5-2 mark. But a horse, certainly, that was being earmarked, and I know DJ I'm all over the place for the Albert Bartlett, was Manella Kruna of Gordon Elliott, who actually finished second behind Manella Kakuna at the Dublin Racing Festival, was doing all his best work at the finish over 2.6 miles. So you would have thought an extra quarter mile would be right up his street. He does come here fresh, which I think has got to be a bit of a bonus. However, as I said earlier, Albert Bartlett winners do have a good record in coming to Punchestown and winning this particular race. Journey With Me fell at the Cheltenham Festival. I know Henry de Bromhead holds him in quite high regard, but he's going to have to put up a seriously good performance, I think, to get involved here. I think it's going to be between the Nice Guy and Manella Kruna. And at the prices, 6-1, Manella Kruna appeals a little bit more than 9-4, the Nice Guy.
Yeah, the course and distance when he did miss Cheltenham. But of course, his form does tie in with that from the Dublin Racing Festival, as Leon said. DJ, just remind people if they've forgotten, what was the issue with Kruna?
He pulled a muscle. Yeah, and broke my heart, Maddie. Yeah, I had tipped him when it was my charity bet at every single preview night I did, and every single preview I gave him as my best bet of the week, and I was devastated when Gordon rang me, to be honest with you. It was only a pulled muscle, so it only kept him out for a few days, but he only pulled it, I think, a week or a couple of days before the festival, so he obviously wasn't going to make the race. But look, I think this is fairly straightforward. I thought going into Cheltenham that he was the best day in novice hurdler, and provided that problem hasn't had too much of an effect, I think he still is. And I think you're getting a great price to find out. Like, when he was ruled out of the Albert Bartlett, I think he was like 3-1 or 7-2 favourite at the time. Like, so he was favoured to beat all these at Cheltenham. And now he's 6-1, even though he's missed the race and he comes here fresh. So a pulled muscle, judging by trainers, and it doesn't seem to be the worst injury in the world. So he's had, you know, it's 81 days since the Dublin Racing Festival when he was second to Manella Kakuna. And you just go back and watch that race. That was 2.6 miles on the inner part of the track at Leopardstown. And he made a desperate mistake at the second last. He was beaten 2¾ lengths that day. An extra 2 furlongs there was only one winner. And you're getting the extra 2 furlongs here. You're guaranteed a strong pace. There's plenty of pace in the race. You know, I just think 6-1 is a massive price. I can't see him going off that big on the day. I think he'll be half that price come Wednesday.
Okay, confidence behind the first half of this show. Then join us after a quick pause to talk about the race of the week.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We are previewing the Punchestown Festival, and on Wednesday at 5:55, it's the Ladbrokes Punchestown Gold Cup. Billed as one of the races of the week, this is going to be a real cracker. We've got the Ryanair winner, the dual Ryanair winner, Alaho, in there for William Mullins. Clanders Oboe makes the journey over, last year's winner for Paul Nichols. Manella Indo, second in the Gold Cup to his stablemate Aplutard, is back with a tongue tie on for the first time. Galvin, Faku Jaderi, Album Photo, Janadil, Tornado Flyer and Kemboy all making a really deep field. How do you assess this one, Leon?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a cracking renewal of this Gold Cup. I mean, the only horse we're really missing is a Plutar, and we weren't going to see him going right-handed. But Alaho, he's made the Ryanair his own at Cheltenham over 2.5. And these extra 3 furlongs shouldn't pose too much of a problem to him. We know what he's going to do. He's going to pop out in front. I'm sure Paul will be trying to dictate the pace from the front. He know he's on the fastest horse in the race, but it's whether the contenders can not give him such an easy lead up front that he got in the Ryanair, because I don't think he's going to go at the exact same pace as he did then to what he'll do on Wednesday. Clan des Oboe, he's trying to do the same as what he done last year, win at Aintree and then win at Punchestown. So he's been there, he's done it. So you got to respect him. Manella Indo, he was well beaten in the Gold Cup, but so were the rest of them. But I just thought, looking at him coming up the hill, he looked to be quite laboured, even though he finished second. Galvin, I mean, he was being talked up, wasn't he, an awful lot as a Gold Cup horse, but just failed to deliver on the big stage. It's an interesting one, Fakhar Dudaris. Coming back here after winning so well at Aintree. This race has got a lot of strength and depth to it. Alaho, you'd have to say, is a worthy favourite, to be fair to him. But do you want to be taking 15-8 or 7-4? He's the highest rated horse in the race on 176, so maybe you should. But I still think Manella Indo, even though he looked tired coming across the line at the Gold Cup, I think there's been enough of a break between Cheltenham and Punchestown. He is a springtime horse, so I think I'll give Manella Indo one more chance to go and win a Punchestown Gold Cup.
Okay, DJ, Alaho has been a puzzling horse for Willie Mullins. Obviously, he in novice hurdles, they thought of him as a future Gold Cup horse. He ran over 3 miles. He actually beat Manella Indo at Clonmel before that horse reversed the tables in the Albert Bartlett. He hasn't tried the trip since he was fourth to Aplutard in the Savills Chase in 2020. For me, I don't want to back him at this trip at 15-8 with the quality in the field.
I do. Yeah, I do. I think he's just exceptional. And I think, I go back to that run in the Savills Chase and you kind of say, oh, God, yeah, I wasn't too mad about that. But you just see what he's done since and even beforehand. And I just thought in the Ryanair, he's got this. Now, one thing I'm praying that this happens, just Paul Townend, if you're listening, I don't know if he is or not, maybe he is. Just ride him the way you always ride Alaho, because you are going to take so many horses out of their comfort zone here. It's going to be incredible. I would love to see him just pretend that it's the Ryanair at Cheltenham and just pretend it's 2.5 miles, because I think this Alaho is a relentless galloper. And I think 3 miles and 30 yards at Punchestown could even see an even better Alaho than we've seen so far. I think he's
exceptional. You've got a horse for next year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I would love to see him go down that route. Now, obviously, he mightn't, because the owners have got Aplutar, who was obviously a brilliant winner of the race this year, and in my opinion, is definitely the horse of the season. But with Alaho, I just can't. Like, you go back to, you know, the RSA when, you know, Champ went in between him and Manila Indo. and you say to yourself, right, he was paddling up the running there, but he's an 8-year-old now. It's 2 years later. He's a stronger. He's a specimen of a horse. He's so imposing now. He's a beast. And I think if Alaho gets into a rhythm like he did in the Ryanair, like he's the most beautiful jumper. He lands running at his fences all the time. And if he gets into a rhythm early here, so many of these stares are going to be taken out of their comfort zone. The likes of Manila Indo, Galvin, Album Photo, Tornado Flyer, Kenboy, the horses that really like the 3 mile two trip at Cheltenham, they're going to be taken out of their comfort zone here. And there's only two horses that interest me in this race, and that is Alaho and Fakir de Dares. I think Fakir de Dares is a big price each way at 10-1. I don't subscribe to the theory that he doesn't stay. I thought there's been excuses every time he's tried 3 miles, and he's only tried it twice. I thought he looked, the finished article at Aintree last time. He hit the line hard. He was going away at the line. And any time he's won over that trip, he's always done his best running late. I think 15-8 is perfectly respectable about Alaho. So I think Alaho will win, and I think Fakir de Dares will follow him home. I'm hoping, I'm seeing it straight at the moment, Maddie, so hopefully it stays that way.
Yes, let's see who's got it right, whether you have. You probably have. I'm just a bit tentative. Alaho, DJ thinks, will outspeed and outstay his rivals in the Punchestown Gold Cup. The following race over on the flats, the 6:30, no jumps, of course. We're going to see a rematch between Fasar Vega and American Mike from the Champion Bumper. The former was a really impressive winner that day, but Gordon Elliott wasn't in the best form at the time, although he had Delta Work winning at the festival for him. His horses seem in better shape now, DJ. Do you think there's any chance of them reversing the form? The betting suggests probably not.
Nope, I don't. I think Fasar Vega will beat American Mike probably by 3, 4, or 5 lengths. I think it's that straightforward.
And how good do you think Fasar Vega is compared to the best horses that we've seen in the last couple of years?
Oh, that's a good question. Right, he's better than Kilcrut, who won it last year. Kalrivi won it the year before. I'd say he'll end up being better than Kalrivi. Tornado Flyer won it the year before that. He's definitely better than him. Fayonne won it the year before that. He's for Gordon Elliott. We'll never find out how good she was. Blow by Blow won it the year before that. He's definitely better than him. Bells Hill won it the year before that. Bells Hill was a good horse and should have won an Irish National, but I think he's better than him. Shane's Hill won it the year before that. He's definitely better than him. The Liquidator won it the year before that. He's better than him. Champagne Fever won it the year before that. I do think he'll end up being better than Champagne Fever. And Love the Higher Law, who we didn't really see again afterwards, won it in 2011. So I think he's probably better than the last 10 winners of this race.
Okay, DJ thinks Fasar Vega is the next big thing. No doubt he will win the Supreme Novices Hurdle next year. Leon, any hope for American Mike backers, or do you think this is going to be straightforward? 4-7, 130 the prices.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's always hope, but I think it's forlorn. I think this horse has everything. If anything, there was a little bit of a worry that the heavy ground that he encountered at Cheltenham was going to suit American Mike more so then Fasar Vega, but his manner of victory was facile. It was absolutely breathtaking. I haven't seen a bumper horse like him in an awful long time. Fernie Hollow, probably the last Champion Bumper winner at Cheltenham that you could put in the same type of category as this fella, because Fernie Hollow is an exceptional horse. But this fella just looks to have, he has it all. He's got a great temperament. He's got a turn of foot. You can put him anywhere you want in a race and he just delivers. And it's not often when your dad is walking the park and your mom is Guevega that it works out. But they say an ounce of breeding is worth a ton of feeding, Maddie. And certainly this guy has got everything. And here's hoping, fingers crossed, owned by a couple of great guys, the Hammer and Trell Syndicate. Here's hoping this horse can go right to the top for them once again. They've been quite lucky owners. They own Thousand Stars as well, who was a brilliant horse for this partnership. And now it looks as if they've got another superstar on their hands. The one horse that probably didn't run his race at Cheltenham was Redemption Day. And I think if you were looking at something each way without backing an odds-on shot, I think Redemption Day could definitely run a much better race than he showed at Cheltenham. Maybe the heavy ground just went against Redemption Day, because Patrick, prior to Cheltenham, was talking up Redemption Day as being a very, very good horse at home as well. He was very impressive at Leopardstown over Christmas. So if you didn't want to take odds on, I think Redemption Day will finish in the first three.
Okay, on to the 5:25 on Thursday. And last year's winner, Classical Dream, is at the head of the market and back for more in the Ladbrokes Champion Stayers Hurdle. Although a favourite hasn't won this race since Quivega, fittingly, back in 2012. Classical Dream, he's looking increasingly likely a horse who isn't to be relied on, DJ. And he does come up against some horses who are in a really good vein of form. Cider Burley and the Devil's Coachman for JP McManus.
Yeah, he's a tricky one, Classical Dream. You know, stop the tape turning in the Stayers Hurdle, and you think he's the one definitely going to win, and then he finishes fifth. He's obviously not the strongest stayer over this trip, but you go back to the race last year, he was exceptional in the race last year, and you know, he's got every chance of following up. He's got a big chance. The one that I'm going to chance at a big price is Ashdale Bob for Jessica Harrington. And probably Robbie Power. I thought he ran an exceptional race in the Coral Cup at Cheltenham. Like, he traded quite short and running there. He went a mad gallop and kept going. He only really got tired halfway up the run, and he made a bit of a mess at the last. He finished third to Commander of Fleet and Faster Slow. Pond was fourth, and they were miles clear of the fifth. I thought it was a strong enough Coral Cup this year. And I do think Ashdale Bob will get 3 miles, and I think he's improving. He was well beaten by Royal Cahal in the Galmoy at Goran Park earlier on in the season. But Jessica Harrington tends to have her team cherry ripe for this. And I just think Ashdale Bob, he's a 7-year-old. He had problems when he was younger. I think he really is getting the hang of things now. He didn't enjoy chasing this season. He might prefer, well, he definitely does prefer a bit softer ground than he's likely to get here. But I just go through the race and you say to yourself, how many of these are improving and how many of them are regressing? I think Ashdale Bob is the one that's definitely improving. So I'm going to chance a small few quid in him at a double figure price, Maddie.
You finally put up a horse that isn't favourite.
All right, Maddie, that's a bit...
I've got to keep him on his toes, haven't I, Leon? What do you think?
Hold on a second. I think Manila Crooner was 6-1.
he was. I just wanted to.
You know what? I think I'm going to let my old head, or maybe my heart, rule my head. But I think I'd love to see Paisley Park.
Oh, love it.
Run a big, big race. And in fairness to him, I get what DJ's saying in terms of, you know, some horses are going backwards, some horses are improving. But I thought that was a brilliant run at Cheltenham. He was only beaten 2¾ lengths behind Flooring Porter. And, you know, I just think with Paisley Park, I'm glad that they've skipped Aintree this time around, because when he was third to Flooring Porter last year, he was pulled up at Aintree. So I'm glad they've given him a bit of a break. Coming over here, it's great again. So fair play to Emma Lavelle for sending this horse over here. And I just think Paisley Park could run a big, big race. This is an open-looking race, Maddie. It wouldn't surprise me. I think this could be a bookmaker's race. I think we'll get a result. You couldn't trust Classical Dream, really, could you? He was brilliant in it last year, but he was off for quite a long time. And then they pulled off a bit of a stroke in terms of Classical Dream winning so well last year. He was backed at huge prices all the way down. So fair play to Connections for getting that one right. I just couldn't have any belief that he can come here and put in another performance like that. So I'm going to go with Paisley Park.
I love that. Fantastic. I think Paisley's been running really well. And if they would have gone a bit quicker, if Danny Mullins wouldn't have been so clever in the Stayers Hurdle, I think he would have been the horse to take out of the race. It's a feel-good story. I hope he runs a big one for you, Leon. I'm for Emma Lavelle and Aidan Coleman. On to the 6:35, which is the 2-mile Barberstown Castle Novice Chase. Willie Mullins, unsurprisingly, has absolutely dominated this race in recent years. He's won every running since 2015, and he won the 2013 renewal. Horses like Underso, Duban, Footpad, Chuck and Passoir, and Ergamy winning it. He's a bit of a newcomer to the party, but Gentleman de May could be up to that standard. 2-1 favourite at the moment, DJ. I am going to lead on to you. Are you going to go for another favourite?
No, I'm scared to know, Maddie. Yeah, even if I even if I did fancy one, I wouldn't be saying it because I'm petrified of you.
I'm only kidding.
Will he run? Excuse the pun. You know, it's 19 days ago since Aintree. Willie has Blue Lord, St. Sam, Houghton Colours. It'll be interesting to see whether he does actually show up here. If he does, obviously, he's got a massive chance. He's rated 164. I think the one you've got the chance maybe is St. Sam. We don't know what would have happened at Cheltenham. He jumped fine up until, like it says in the comments and running, that I think he wasn't fluent at a couple of fences, but I thought he was okay. And then he was obviously brought down by the fall of Brave Shashka on front of the stands. Who knows what he would have achieved there. But I do think at Leopardstown, when he was third to Blue Lord in the Irish Arkle with Riviera Detel second, I thought he probably was the one to take from the race. Didn't jump that well, made a mistake two out, and still was coming back at the line. He's a sort of horse, if he did get into a rhythm here, I could see him running really well. And I don't think, if you take Gentleman to Me out of these, they're not a great bunch of novice, 2 mile novices. They really aren't. Edward Stone showed them up, and I know Gentleman to Me has beaten Edward Stone at Aintree. If he shows up, I think Gentleman to Me will be a short price favourite. If he doesn't, I'd be quite keen on St. Sam.
Okay, interesting thoughts there from DJ Leon. Edward Stone's been the main sort of talking horse of the 2 mile novices this year, but Gentleman to Me put him in his place at Aintree. Who does your pin come down on here?
Yeah, I suppose it does matter if Gentleman to Me is back in this race, but I'm like Geno there with St. Sam. I actually thought he might have gone for the Boyle Sports Gold Cup Novice Chase, stepping up and trip at Ferry House at Galloping Deschamps won. So interesting that Willie swerved that race with this particular horse, and I think you'd have to give him a chance. He made a couple of mistakes even when he finished third at Leopardstown, but he ran and finished very strongly through the line. So comes here very fresh again, having unseated his rider quite early at Cheltenham. So for me, St. Sam will do.
Okay, on to a race which has been the focus of much talking in the last couple of weeks. It's on Friday at 5:25. It's the Paddy Power Champion Hurdle. No Constitution Hill in here. Before we go on to discuss who the main threat to Honeysuckle will be, what do you make of that debacle, Leon? Do you think he should be running, or do you think it's fair enough?
Do I think he should be running? Probably not, because he's only a 5-year-old. I think that performance at Cheltenham would have taken an awful lot out of him. He wasn't spared when he jumped the last. I mean, he ran right all the way to the line in an exceptional clock. So when you've got a young horse with that much potential, I don't think you need to bring him over to Ireland to take on an unbeaten superstar. Racing fans would love to see it. Of course we would, because they're the clashes we want to see. But I think they've done right by the horse. And I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. He's only a baby. Hopefully we'll have Constitution Hill for the next 5-6 years. So you want to protect a horse that is as good as him. And I do feel we'll get to see that clash next year. So, yeah, we might have to wait a little bit longer, but I think they've done the right thing by Constitution Hill. In terms of Honeysuckle coming up against, hopefully, I know Epatant is in here. Be good to see her come over. Don't know whether she will, but this is a penalty kick for the superstar mare. She's going to win. She's going to win easy. She does it as she likes. I think she's getting very, very clever in her old age as an 8-year-old. I think she just does exactly what she has to do. She puts the race to bed and then she just pulls up. And I think she wins again. Simple as that.
Okay. Constitution Hill, a 5-year-old. You've got 2 5-year-olds in here, although they've a little bit been more honed to this level of competition, to Hupu and Adagio. DJ, your view on them choosing not to run and your view on who will get closest to Honeysuckle.
Sure, I was gutted. Like everybody else, I was gutted. But like, I was gutted because it would have been great, and it would have been, you know, something that will be remembered in donkey's years, and to be a part of it would have been magic. But like, I go back to I was watching Look on Sunday that morning when Michael Buckley was on, and here you had an owner who was dreaming about doing something extraordinary, and like, it's one of the things that kind of bugs me in racing. When a trainer or a jockey or an owner says something, we automatically take it as gospel and that this is definitely going to happen. Like, if you watch the clip again, he goes, oh, we'd love to do it. Wouldn't it be great to go and take on Honeysuckle at Punchestown? And this was before the Supreme was run. Obviously, you know, he went out and he broke the track record in the Supreme and he was unbelievable. It was surreal watching it up the home straight. But like, you know, this was simply an owner getting carried away. And I know Nicky gets a lot of bad press and, you know, some of it is justified and he has ducked battles over the year. But I think this is one occasion where we can give him a pass and say, do you know what? He's doing the right thing. He's a 5-year-old and, you know, he could have 6 to 7 more years at the very top.
Do you think he would have beaten Honeysuckle if he would have ran?
I probably don't, because he would have had to have ran to a mark of 172 or 173 to beat her. And I probably would have sided for Honeysuckle. To be honest, I think the betting would have been very close together. And I think if Honeysuckle was 10 to 11 or 4 to 5, I think she probably would have been a little bit of value. For all that, I am possibly one of Constitution Hill's biggest fans. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. But I think Honeysuckle probably would have beaten her getting the £7. But I do think they've done the right thing. The problem here is that it's now a shocker. Like, this is... like, are they going to run Appetant 22 days after she won the entry hurdle? I'm not sure they will, because they've also got Saint-Foy and Durasso in here to pick up the place prize money. They know Epitant cannot beat Honeysuckle. So if Epitant doesn't run, you're talking about Saint-Foy, Tihupu, Adagio, Echoes and Rain and Durasso. Lord, holy God, bless and save us. Like, this is... like, what price is Honeysuckle going to be? Is she going to be like 1 to 10 or something? Like, this is really like... there's one thing Constitution Hill not showing up. It's another thing... Saint-Foy being second favourite.
But Geno, I think it does kind of pose the problem of the champion hurdle and the amount of contenders. It's very, very thin. It's very, very thin on the ground. And that's why I think your point earlier in relation to Sir Gerhard, I remember Willie Mullins saying that after he won the Ballymore, he could be a champion hurdle horse. And I think the champion hurdle division needs him in there next year. It needs Constitution Hill. And then we've got a race that will really whet the appetite. Those three against each other, Honeysuckle, throw in Epitant as well, maybe, but definitely Sir Gerhard and Constitution Hill. Now you've got a race that will really get people interested in the champion hurdle division.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully next season we'll be able to see that battle. We're going into the flat season, of course, and we're going to see an almighty battle on Saturday and Sunday in both versions of the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas. We're going to talk about those just after a pause.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
We have finished our preview of the Punchestown Festival and it's onwards to the Kipco 2000 guineas we go. It's at 3:40 on Saturday and we've got a red hot favourite in Native Trail. 19 horses still engaged at the latest stage. His stablemate Caribus is in there. So to Luxembourg, Perfect Power and Point Lonsdale. Who do we think's going to win this? I mean, Native Trail's been very popular, very good in the Craven Stakes, Leon. Is this a formality?
Oh, it's not a formality. Absolutely no chance is this a formality. This is one of the best 2,000 guineas in quite some time. If the main protagonists all line up come Saturday afternoon, look, you've got to be hugely impressed with Native Trail. He's raced twice on the Rowley Mile. He's won both times. Won, obviously, the Dewhurst over 7 and then stepped up and won the Craven over a mile. And he just gets it done. But the time last time was very, very good. He went to the Curragh and beat Point Lonsdale. I think Point Lonsdale definitely didn't run up to his best on that particular occasion. I think the step up and trip will suit him. But there's no doubt that Luxembourg goes there as Aidan O'Brien's number one. He's a very, very impressive colt. His dad is Camelot, who, of course, won the Guineas and won the Derby. Aidan's on record to saying that this guy has got a little bit more speed than his dad, Camelot. He won the Beresford Stakes and then he went, of course, and won the Virgin Futurity. The race didn't really go to plan, I don't think, for Ryan Moore on that particular occasion. I thought he was left in front a little bit early than what he would have liked, but he still got the job done. And then you've got Karibas, who has done absolutely nothing wrong as well. This is a really, really good Guineas, Maddie. Would you want to be taking 5-4 on about Native Trail? I suppose he's done everything right and he's a worthy favourite. I'm not saying he's not, but I just think they really hold this Luxembourg in very, very high esteem. And I'm gonna be the each way thief. I think at around about 9-2 or 5-1, I'd rather take a chance on Luxembourg each way. If he gets beat by Native Trail, fair play. But I don't see Luxembourg out of the money.
Okay. Well, I like that view because I'm a Luxembourg supporter anti-post. But I know DJ likes Native Trail. And I must be honest, I think he's going to be very hard to beat. He's a very strong stayer. I love the way he picks up the rising ground. Karibas, obviously, for me, he's not had a run. He looked supremely talented and very speedy last year, but that's a slight concern. Luxembourg, I'm not sure whether he's going to totally handle the track. I wouldn't be surprised if they do have their sights on the Derby further down the line. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien has brought a lot of horses into this race without a prep run successfully, though. And Perfect Power, I wonder if he's going to see out this mile and be as good as the rest of them. So I think you might be onto something here, surprisingly, DJ.
Ah, yeah, sure. Look, it's a very good race, but we're talking about something exceptional here, I think, anyway. I did this show with you a few weeks ago and we were talking about the Guineas, and I think at the time Native Trail was 11-4, and it was one of the weeks where I think it was shortly after Cheltenham or maybe just before Aintree or after Aintree or something, but it was one of those weeks where your mind was fixed on jumps. And I remember looking at the market and thinking to myself, my God, that was way too big, and this is obviously spectacular after timing. But like what he's done, he is just, especially fair enough, when he on the second start, he only just beat Mazzachila in the Superlative Stakes. But what he's done in his three starts since a Group One company, two Group Ones and a Group Two, he's hammered everything. Like in the National Stakes, he's absolutely obliterated Point Lonsdale and the Ebor River. Then he came out in the Dewhurst, and you know, things kind of went wrong in the Dewhurst, and he was still well on top of the line. And I just thought what he did from the 2 furlong pole to the line in the Craven was exceptional. I would far rather back Native Trail or in around evens. I know he's 10-11 with Boyles. There's 11-10 evens. He's in around that price. I'd far rather back him at evens than back Luxembourg each way. Now, Leon is a very shrewd operator, and I can see where he's coming from with Luxembourg. But I think there is more chance of Native Trail winning the race than there is of Luxembourg finishing in the first three. For all that, I think Luxembourg has got a great chance in the Derby. I think we're just dealing with an exceptional miler here in Native Trail. I'd be disappointed if he's beaten.
Okay, well, if the 2,000 guineas is slightly obvious, then the Kipco 1,000 guineas at 3:40 on Sunday isn't, because the long-time anti-post favourite In Spiral is out, the Filly's Mile winner. That's thrown open the doors to an extent. Tenebras and the Cheekley Park winner for Aidan O'Brien is going to have to prove she stays this trip. Discoveries and Homeless Songs, again, two Irish horses have staked their claims. Tuesday, another one for Aidan O'Brien. And then, interestingly, quite a few French horses could hold strong claims. Malabath for Francis-Henri Graffard and Zelly for André Favre. This could be more open, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was a surprise here. Leon, how do you bet first off?
Yeah, look, it's 5-2 Tenebrism now, obviously, with In Spiral having been taken out. You're going 6-1, a couple of fillies. Discoveries, the Moyglare winner, Homeless Songs, who was very impressive for Dermot Weld on her seasonal reappearance at Leopardstown. They're both 6-1 chances. Malavat, also actually with ourselves at 6-1, is Tuesday. Malavat is 7-1, 9-1. Zelly, Miss Ensign is 10-1. So, again, Tenebrism, I suppose the big question mark is, will she stay the mile? I think that's kind of everyone's question. She was a good winner on Good to Firm over six, but it's an extra quarter mile. She was a 14-1 chance that day as well, Maddie, when she won the Cheveley Parker Group One. But that's the big question. Will she get the mile? You'd have to think that they're quite hopeful down in Tipperary that she will. Discoveries, her form is very, very closely tied in with Tuesday. They met each other at the Curragh all the way back in June last year, and she beat Tuesday by a short head. She obviously then progressed. She was third on her next start, which was the debutante, but then she went and reversed that form with Agartha in the Moyglare. So Discoveries is one that has a big chance too. But the Well filly, I was very taken. The value's probably gone now. However, I think she was a 12-1 chance when Inspiral was still in the race. So she's now halved in price. But she was very, very impressive last time out in that Guineas trial at Group 3. Great ride by Chris Hayes. And she'd have to come into the reckoning. It's going to be interesting to see, does Tuesday go here? Tuesday was good on her seasonal reappearance. Hands and Heels ride by Ryan Moore at Nace. She done it quite easily. And the one thing I liked about her was she was doing her best work at the finish. I think if Tuesday ran, she'd have a big chance. But right now, I think I'm going to go with the Dermot Well filly. Even though the value is probably gone, I think Homeless Songs could run a huge race.
I'm with you. And I admit the value probably has gone, but I really like Homeless Songs. DJ, in this race last year, there was an almighty plunge on Santa Barbara. I really don't think Tenebrism, on balance, is value that she's going to stay, being by Caravaggio and out of an exceptional sprinter in Immortal Verse. She looked explosive for me in the Cheveley Park. I have a question mark. Am I right? Am I wrong?
I'd say you're right. To touch on Homeless Songs, first of all, if both of you have backed Homeless Songs, I'd advise you to cash out immediately. I spoke to Dermot Well this morning, the story on the race and post site. He's 50-50 with regard to whether she runs here on Sunday or goes to the French Guineas on the 15th of May. And he kept telling me he was 50-50, but judging by his tone, I think it's likely that Homeless Songs might wait until the Guineas in France on the 15th of May. So if you are on Homeless Songs at big prices, I'd advise you to cash out because I'm not sure she's going to show up. He says it is 50-50 and he kept reiterating that to me. The decision will be made on Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. But there's a story on the Racing Post site there that I wrote. And if you do fancy Homeless Songs, I'd be a bit worried. And that's what he said. In fairness to him, he said, I wanted to warn punters that it's not a foregone conclusion that she runs here. It is 50-50. So it'll be interesting. And that's why she's drifted. She was, you know, 5-1, I think 11-2 earlier. She's out to 6-1 now and 13-2. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there with Homeless Songs. I, like you pair, I was giving her a massive chance in this. Discoveries, I think, has got a big chance. You know, she's going to be better at 3 than she was at 2. She's a sister to Alpha Centauri. But the one that I like, Maddie, would you believe, is a 25-1 shot.
you tell me.
I thought, now look, she mightn't have beaten much, but I thought Amina was brilliant when she won her maiden at the Craven meeting. I thought how powerfully she travelled through that. There was just the gap that David Egan went through, maybe 2 out. And she just really exploded through it. And the minute she hit the rising ground, she just went away from them. Now, she was beaten on her debut at Newmarket, but I actually think she kind of should be unbeaten because she got into all sorts of trouble that day back in October and she flew home to finish second. I liked the run that day and I was really interested to see how she'd develop as a 3-year-old. And she was obviously very strong in the market. She was sent off even money favour for that maiden. Now, she only earned an RPR of 93 that day, but Roger Varian has always spoken about her in a really, really positive way. I think she's a really good filly. She's still 25-1, even with Inspiral out and the likelihood the Homeless Songs mightn't run. Sometimes you have to believe your eyes, and I just thought that performance in that maiden by Amina was really good. So I think 25-1 is a big price.
Okay, considering I have doubts about a couple at the top of the market, I might join you on that train, DJ. And thank you for the news on Homeless Songs, a good warning for those of you who are supporting that filly. Now, before we go, let's get some best bets for the week.
This will not be beaten.
There's top quality action. Hopefully we can pinpoint some winners for you. I'll go to you first, Leon. Who do you think's your best chance for a winner?
Jacqueline Pursois.
What kind of a pronunciation was that? It's no cue.
Why, is that not right, David? Jacqueline Pursois.
It's not Jacqueline Pursois.
Jacqueline Pursois.
Jacqueline Pursois, yeah.
Oh, sorry, David. Sorry. Jacqueline Pursois. Yeah, I do think, Matty, he's got everything in his favour. I think this will be another grade one for the enigmatic Chacun Pursois. He is brilliant in Ireland, and I just think if he runs to his level, I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. But I do like, I think Jenna might have given it a mention. I do think Lifetime Ambition a bit later on, that horse could outrun its odds, certainly.
Okay, interesting. I don't think he did give it a mention, unless I'm wrong. Lifetime Ambition.
Lifetime Ambition. Did you give that a bit of a squeak earlier on?
In the race on Tuesday?
Yeah.
No, I thought Bob Allinger would win it.
Yeah, don't give him any credit.
I just think Lifetime Ambition, I think the ground will suit. Got back to winning ways last time. Interesting that they've gone for this instead of a handicap later in the week. So I think that horse could outrun his odds.
Fantastic. DJ, best bet?
Best bet, I'm going to go to Thursday, Maddie, the 450, something I never, ever do. My best bet is going to be in a cross-country race. It's the Latouche on Thursday. I think Stand Up and Fight is going to win this, Friend the Bulger. He was favoured for the race last year. He was a well-back favourite for the race. I think he went off pretty short, actually, on the day. I think he went off 13-8 under Derek O'Connor. But how he survived one of the mistakes he made along the way there was remarkable. I don't know how Derek kept the partnership intact. He still finished third. I actually think he comes into this race in decent form. He was second in an open point at Nina in March, and there was only a couple of runners there, but I thought he ran okay. And then he ran in the Fox Hunters, or the Hunters Chase, as it's now called, at Aintree. But that was over 2.5 miles, and he stayed on nicely to finish sixth. He was still beaten a long way, but Áine O'Connor gets on well with him. There was a programme on TG Cat, a really good programme that was done by Dennis Kerwin. It showed Stand Up and Fight actually schooling under Derek O'Connor, under Áine O'Connor in End of Bulger's brewery stable. He's got a kind of his own cross country track, and it only showed like maybe a minute of him schooling, but it just looked like he had completely taken to it, which was in complete contrast to what he showed in the race last year, where he made a lot of mistakes along the way. I think he's learning all the time in this discipline, and I'd be disappointed if he doesn't win. That's Stand Up and Fight in the 450 on Thursday.
Super. It's been a bumper edition of the Monday Postcast. You've had Punchestown, you've had Classics, so hopefully you enjoyed it, and fingers crossed we picked out some good winners and each way prizes for you as well. If you do want more information, then stay tuned to Friday's show, where we'll have all the final fields for Saturday's action. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Thanks to DJ, thanks to Leon, and we'll see you again in a week's time.